for some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
It is mock draft time. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the FTN DataCast, presented, of course, as always, by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer here on this Sunday evening, joined, as always, by Tyler Lochner at Lochner NFL on Twitter. Tyler, what's up, man? How was your weekend? I had a couple rookie drafts, and I must say, one of my rookie drafts, you know, you have three first-round picks. It's a lot easier to do so, but I must say I crushed it.
Well, yeah, you did send me one of your teams, and I'm sure you'll talk about it here, but I definitely think you crushed it. Weekend was good. Spent basically the whole time outside, so can't complain there.
Yeah, it must be nice. It was raining Friday, Saturday, and then not raining Sunday, but like really windy. So the weather was not great. But yeah, we are going to be doing a 12-team PPR an actual mock draft. The first one of the season. We're going to do a handful of these over the summer, and I think they're just fun to do. They're fun exercises because not only can you see where different players are going, especially now after we have the NFL draft settled, but like, for instance, this draft, I'm at the 9 spot and Tyler's at the 2 spot. We'll do another one and we'll change not only draft spots, but like, these are fun to do to test different draft strategies, right? You can go zero RB in one draft. You can go, you know, heavy running back in one draft. You can go early tight end in one draft. You can go late tight end. And that's what I tend to do. So they're a lot of fun, and we'll be breaking our teams down and any significant picks that stand out. But yeah, that rookie draft, man, the 102, I got Breece Hall. The 104, I got Treylon Burks. And the 110, I got James Cook. So
who went first?
Derek Brown, D-Bro, took Drake London. He said it's his 101. It was a super flex. Kenny Pickett went, I believe, 107.
Okay.
And
who went 103? I'm just surprised Burks went fourth.
103 was Kenneth Walker, because I got Breece at 102. So I was stunned to get Breece at 102, and then even almost just as stunned and happy to get Treylon Burks.
I'm surprised Walker went before him. But it's not like some... It's not like some bad move. Right. It just surprises me.
So, yeah, we're going to start this draft right now. Again, two running backs, three receivers, one flex, full PPR, and we will walk through it. So here we go. 101, Christian McCaffrey. So
that breaks my heart.
I was literally going to say, I think you agree. So now you can't take Christian McCaffrey at the 102 because it was not Jonathan Taylor at the 101. So what are you looking at here?
I will take Taylor. I wanted McCaffrey. That's the right move. McCaffrey's the 101. So
You've talked a lot about this. It's not like it's an egregious take. Like it's McCaffrey. We know when McCaffrey plays on a per game basis.
Have you ever played video games?
Have I ever played video games?
All right. I will say this. Have you ever taken playing video games pretty seriously? Have you ever heard of the concept of min-maxing?
Sounds familiar.
All right. So min-maxing is basically the gist of it is you maximize certain strengths of a character. Like, let's say you're playing like World of Warcraft or some game where you have a character and you completely maximize whatever the strongest traits are. And it can happen at the expense of other areas of the character. So you might end up really weak in certain areas of the game.
Gotcha.
I think that's the way I like to play games. Taking Christian McCaffrey is the min-max move. It's like the ultimate ceiling shot. So that's why I love him at 101. But yeah, wasn't there for me. But Taylor's a fine second pick for me there.
Yeah, so you're back on the clock. And I had an absolute insane start, I must say. At three receivers, I got Stephon Diggs, who's my wide receiver 3, at 109. And then it went Tyreek Hill, Najee Harris, Joe Mixon, Travis Kelce, DeAndre Swift, Nick Chubb. Jamar Chase still on the board at 204, so that was a slam dunk. So my starting two receivers are now Stephon Diggs and Jamar Chase. It's back over to you, though, at the 211 with Jonathan Taylor already on your team.
Yeah, I actually kind of hate where I am right now, not going to lie. It's an interesting spot to be because when you pick early, you obviously get the really, really good player, Jonathan Taylor. I actually kind of like where you drafted, though. You load up on two wide receivers. because I already have a running back, I don't want to take one. Just for people listening, the ones on the board right now, Ezekiel Elliott, Javonte Williams, Antonio Gibson, Aaron Jones, Cam Akers are the top running backs available.
And I must say, we also have to remember, we're drafting on Sleeper. It's different sites have different ADPs, so just don't, because this happens a lot when I draft, don't forget you have like Leonard Fournette down there, James Conner down there, who a lot of people probably have higher than the running backs left on the board, outside of maybe Javonte Williams. So
that is true. Yep. Fournette's a little bit lower. I think if I would go running back here, then I'm really setting myself up for, you know, running back heavy start. Mm-hmm. Going Taylor, Fournette would be the player that I would take. I'm going to see if Fournette can survive the turn. And so I'm going to look for either a tight end or a wide receiver here.
Still got Mark Andrews there.
Yeah, then I think
DeAndre Hopkins suspension obviously puts a wrinkle in things.
I think the player that I like here is Mark Andrews.
Okay. So Tyler goes Taylor and then Andrews, and then on the swing, it goes Javonte Williams, Patrick Mahomes, and then back to Tyler.
And then I'll
Tyler,
take Fournette.
Who, yeah, doesn't hesitate taking Fournette. So three receivers, not going receiver with your first three picks is a little interesting, but it's a reason why we do these, and it's not like receivers, you know, it's not like we're missing wide receivers in any draft. I mean, there's going to be a ton of receivers. So after the start of the third round goes Mahomes, Fournette to Tyler, Antonio Gibson, Aaron Jones, Zeke. So Hopkins went by the AI took DeAndre Hopkins. So that's obviously not great. I can actually just remove that pick and add a different player. I think I'm going to do that to make it more realistic. So let's, instead of Hopkins going there, let's just say instead that is, let's put Mike Evans there. That's fair, right?
Yep.
So Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, and then George Kittle. So back over to me. I already have Stephon Diggs and Ja'Marr Chase. So I could continue to, you know, attack wide receiver, or I can look at the running back position. Cam Akers, David Montgomery on the board. James Conner's also still there. Does stand out to me. Tight end. I'm gonna take kind of a similar approach as you. I'm gonna hope that this player makes it back to me. I'm just gonna lock up three players that I have as top 11 receivers. And go with T. Higgins. So my receivers are absurd. Yes, I have Ja'Marr Chase, but like that's an offense I feel fine about.
So I guess the question is, later in the draft, do you target Joe Burrow? Because now you have Higgins and Chase.
Yeah, I mean, that's more of a best ball thing for me, but like I'm not opposed to it by any means, right?
Yeah.
Like you can easily just, it's not like I'm running away from that, I guess is the best way to put it. So now I'm definitely going to be looking at, so my plan was to see if Kyle Pitts made it back around. I was thinking about taking Pitts there anyway. But I was hoping, you know, with one of the teams already taking Kelce, maybe. But then there's an actual tight end run with Pitts and Waller before me. So, like, a lot of people talk about it. Like, if you miss out on the top three or four tight ends, you probably end up better off waiting. So that's my approach now with Kittle, Waller, Kelce, Pitts, Andrews all off the board.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely going to approach running back now. And I'm debating between Connor, Montgomery, and Dobbins. I was low on Dobbins earlier in the offseason, warmed up to him a little bit after they didn't add any running backs really outside of Tyler Beatty. But I'm going to take James Conner. He's ranked the highest for me. And I feel pretty good about it. You know, they added a couple receivers as well, or a couple running backs as well, but not enough to where, like, I worry about the volume for James Conner. So starting Diggs, Chase, Higgins, and Conner, I'm pretty thrilled about, to be honest. So the rest of that round, I take Connor. Then it goes Chris Godwin, Dave Montgomery, DK Metcalf, DJ Moore, and Dobbins right before pick three. And then you will be on the board after this pick, and it is Michael Thomas right before you.
I had my eye on Thomas. There's a handful of wide receivers here that I'm interested in. I actually was hoping right before my pick, DK Metcalf went, DJ Moore went, Michael Thomas went. And Chris Godwin. Those were the four that I had there, but I do want Amari Cooper here. He's still on the board. That's obviously hoping that Deshaun Watson plays, but I think that's I'm fine with him as my top wide receiver. And then it's right after the turn. I'm going to go wide receiver again because obviously I opened my draft without any wide receivers, which is actually not something that I usually do. And I'm going to take your boy. Here's the pick for you.
Oh, I love it.
So that's
Sutton and Judy back to back. Love it. Then we have a quarterback run. My goodness. Herbert, yeah. Murray, Burrow. But talk about Courtland Sutton, because we've talked about him quite a bit in this, the 5-6 episodes we've had of this podcast. But he's another player, too. Like, in a lot of ADPs, he's pushed down, and it's been a little bit better lately. But yeah, like, I'm very excited about Sutton for sure.
So that's the 50th overall pick where I took Sutton. I feel like that is probably going to end up being pretty average. I feel like he's going to end up being a fifth round pick. I can't say that it's like the most confident pick in the world, because he did not have a good year last year, but we know that he is talented. And now we've talked about this on the podcast before, the way that he just lines up perfectly with Russell Wilson and the deep balls. So that's why I took Sutton there over Judy. I had the choice between the two of them. Like I said, I did want Michael Thomas. I think he's going like late fourth, early fifth is a little bit too late for him. He's a total wild card player, but I was hoping Thomas would make it there, but I'm happy with Cooper and Sutton, especially given the fact that I opened my first three rounds without a wide receiver. I would say those are two solid fantasy wide receiver twos on my team.
Yeah, like you said, we talked about Sutton a lot, but if anybody's, new to the podcast, first of all, this podcast, the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast with Ray and Josh Larkey, both have been climbing up the charts. So that's really awesome. We appreciate that. So hopefully some new listeners, but if you are new, we talked a lot about Sutton and the fit with Russell Wilson. Wrote about it in my breakout article, which is over at FTN Fantasy, but we have, passing direction stats over at FTN Fantasy, a tool you can look at. So last season, Russell Wilson, 13.4% of his pass attempts last season were to the deep left part of the field, highest rate in the NFL. A lot of those were to Tyler Lockett and that deep ball. Last year, Courtland Sutton, 14.3% of his targets last year came from that same area of the field, 10th highest rate in football. Those targets, however, came from Drew Lock and company. So that just tells me that Sutton is going to fill the role of Lockett, which may have some inconsistencies here and there that we've seen, but those weeks can be week winning. And you also have the fact that Sutton's an immensely talented player. How worried are you about the overall passing volume of this offense, though? Because, like,
Decently worried. Because right, the numbers with Judy were Gordon terrible. Especially.
Yeah.
I am decently worried about it. I mean, I can't deny that. I don't have it in front of me. I should. But I believe they ranked in the bottom five in the league last year in run rate. I know you wrote about it in one of your recent articles. But the Broncos were a very run-heavy team. But it's also really hard for me to just take too much stock in their team last year, because Russell Wilson wasn't their quarterback.
Yep.
And they went out and traded for him. And it's
Nathaniel Hackett is like a kid in a candy shop, too. Like, he's so excited about Russell Wilson being there. I think all it takes for them, and I wrote about it, like, all it takes for them to feel better about Sutton and Judy in terms of volume is to go from like 28th, 29th in passing volume to like 20th. It doesn't have to be top 10, doesn't have to be top 12. But like, that's the only thing I'm worried about with Sutton, because his numbers with Jerry Jeudy last year were atrocious. Mm-hmm. 3.8 targets, 19 receiving yards per game, and 10 games alongside Jerry Jeudy.
It's bad.
It's really bad. And a lot of those games were 25 pass attempt games from Teddy Bridgewater. Like, I remember the Dallas game where Denver just kind of really dominated the Cowboys. I think it was like there was a lot of games where Teddy Bridgewater was under 30 passing attempts. So it'll be interesting to see if Russell Wilson throws the ball more. I expect they do, but they also still have a good defense. And like you mentioned, they brought back Melvin Gordon. So I think Sutton's going to be, I think he's going to have a handful of like top 10 weeks. I also think there's going to be some weeks where he's like the wide receiver 37.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're expecting him to fill the Lockett role, that's absolutely what's going to happen.
Yeah, it'll be fun, though. Like, I don't think there's an offense that's more exciting this season. I'm not saying they're the best offense, but like, to see the changes and with the offseason than Denver. So start of the fifth round, Travis Etienne, you take Sutton, followed by teammate Jerry Jeudy. Then a little bit of a quarterback run, Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, and Joe Burrow back to back to back. TJ Hockenson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and now I'm on the clock. This is a pretty easy selection for me. Have my three receivers. could go receiver again. Don't love the tight ends at this point of the draft. Don't think I need to take quarterback. I'm going to take Breece Hall. This is a spot where we talked about Breece Hall should be going, right? We kind of compared it to Javonte Williams last year in his rookie season. Went in that like mid-five, early or to early six-round range. Here we are at the 509. This is a pretty easy spot for me to take Breece Hall as my second running back. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. So Breece Hall joins the team. Lamar Jackson goes. I consider Lamar, then Kareem Hunt, Tyler Lockett, Allen Robinson, Dak Prescott. So now the quarterbacks are starting to go. Best quarterbacks on the board. Again, I think this is an easy selection for me. I am going to go quarterback. I'm going to take Jalen Hurts.
So I guess looking back on it, would you rather have had Jackson and Damian Harris or Miles Sanders? I guess those are the next two running backs that came off.
Yeah, it's a fair question. The thing with me is, and I updated my rankings over the weekend, I have Breece Hall in a pretty large tier gap between Sanders and Damian Harris. Like, Miles Sanders, you could say, is kind of like indifferent in terms of like whether he won or lost in the draft. I don't think he won or lost. Like, they didn't really add anybody, but like they still had Boston Scott. They also added AJ Brown. And then Damian Harris, I mean, they added Pierre Strong, they added another running back, James White's coming back. So I think between Lamar losing Hollywood Brown and Jalen Hurts gaining AJ Brown, I still have Lamar ranked higher, but I think you can make the case that the gap's closer between those two quarterbacks. And obviously at the quarterback position, the gap's not as far anyway at that position because there's so many players scoring fantasy points. That was kind of what I thought about it. So, and then the fact that, you know, Hurts obviously already has a ceiling and floor combo and they just added AJ Brown. I mean, we even talk about that. Like, talk about teams, the Eagles last year, first 4 weeks of the season, they were extremely pass heavy and it didn't work. Then they started to run the football and they were the most run heavy team. Then last 8 weeks of the season, they were like 60% run rate. I think that balances out a little bit to where they're not, again, they're not 30th in passing attempts again, but they're probably in that 20 to 22nd range. But that's fine for Jalen Hurts because AJ Brown's a receiver that doesn't need volume to make plays and that he can help Jalen Hurts a ton. So I love my team. Diggs, Chase, Higgins, Connor, Breece Hall, and Hurts to start off. The rest of the sixth round, Adam Thielen, Damian Harris, Miles Sanders, Dallas Goedert, James Robinson, Mike Williams, and it's over to you at the 6-11.
This ends up becoming a really easy pick for me. I still have a need at wide receiver, and there's actually a handful of ones that I really like on the board.
I think I know where you're going here.
But none of them more than Michael Pittman.
Yep.
That's a pretty simple pick for me. And then the turn went running back, and I'm back on the clock. And I am Elijah Moore is still on the board here for me. There's other interesting ones. Marquise Brown, Brandon Cooks, and Elijah Moore.
There's still some real, like, and this is your wide receiver four, like, or your flex. Like, I would be very happy to start Treylon Burks, Elijah Moore, Brandon Cooks, especially all at my flex. So
I think
you're in good shape. Hollywood Brown again gets Kyler on the offense and he gets 7 weeks without Hopkins.
Yeah. I don't think I can really go wrong with one of these, but I think I will take Cooks.
In my opinion, that was the right choice.
Yeah, I think Cook, he's so consistent, and I will take that for my wide receiver four spot.
So a couple rookies go off board in the seventh round. Kenneth Walker to start the seventh, and then Treylon Burks at the 7:08. Dalton Schultz also went, who was on my radar for sure. But yeah, like, talk about your team, because you went running back, tight end, running back, and a three receiver build, but like, I have to think you're pretty happy with the receivers that you ended up with.
I am happy with the receivers I ended up with. This is absolutely not the way that I usually draft. I usually do what you're doing.
And that's why we do these, though. Like, next one, I'm probably going to go a different strategy. Yep. I usually, in three receiver leagues, go at least two receivers to start like this. But the way the draft panned out, like, I kind of couldn't pass on T. Higgins how much I love him.
No, I actually really like that duo for you. Higgins and Chase, and Diggs could all end up as fantasy wide receiver ones. They absolutely could. But on my side, I just don't love doing it because you usually don't end up with, and maybe it's different this year, right? Because after doing these mock drafts, this is what you start to realize. In previous years, the wide receiver juice really was weak in the middle rounds for me. I preferred wide receivers early and I preferred wide receivers late. And then in these middle rounds is when I liked to draft tight ends and a quarterback. and start picking up some of my, you know, quote unquote zero RB running backs. It didn't 100% work last year, but this was kind of a range where you could draft like a Leonard Fournette last year, and obviously that worked pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start your draft with an anchor running back, Jonathan Taylor, and then I went Mark Andrews just because I thought he was the best player still available on the board. Obviously, I then had to go wide receiver heavy for the rest of the draft. And so I went Amari Cooper, Cortland Sutton, Michael Pittman, Brandon Cooks. All of them are their team's number one wide receiver. And all of them will see at least 20% target volume. And I'm not 100% sure about Brandon Cooks. Actually, yeah, I am. All of these will be their team's leading wide receiver in the red zone and end zone as well. Maybe you could argue Sutton, Jerry Jeudy over Sutton in terms of end zone targets, but that's what I look for if I'm drafting kind of middle round wide receivers. I still want to find guys that are the number one player on their team, so you at least know you're getting decent target volume, despite not having like a Stephon Diggs or Ja'Marr Chase ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Cooks I've also written about a lot, like just perpetually undervalued pretty much every season. And you mentioned, like, I agree. Like, I think if at least from between Cooper, Cooks, and Pittman, I would be pretty surprised if those three players finished under a 25% target share. Like,
agreed.
Michael Pittman, they added Alec Pierce. Cool.
He had 25% target share last year. And just, I mean, I know Matt Ryan, a lot of people think he's toast. He's definitely an upgrade over Carson Wentz, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And, like, they have no receivers. Like, I like Alec Pierce, but I thought, and I said this a ton, Sky Moore made way more sense as a fit there. And, like, Michael Pittman is going, we've seen Matt Ryan, rely on one receiver. Like, so I think Pittman gets that. I think Cooper gets that pretty easily. Another team, like, yes, they had David Bell, but other than that, like, unless they bring Jarvis Landry back, it's Amari Cooper with a rookie in David Bell, a third-year player in Donovan Peoples-Jones, and then, you know, whatever they get from Njoku at the tight end position. So another player, and they're not going to throw to Nick Chubb. So, and then Brandon Cooks last year, I mean, look at the numbers. He saw 25% target share already last season. He
27 saw, actually, ninth in the NFL.
There you go. I was going to say at least a 25%. So thank you, 27%. He had 37% of Houston's air yards. That was sixth highest in the NFL. 28% of their first read targets. And he had at least a 25% target share in seven different games last year. And what did they do? They brought in John Mechie. You know, like,
yeah,
like that doesn't do it for me. Then it's Nico Collins and Brevin Jordan and, you know, Damian Pearson catch some passes. Cool. But like Brandon Cooks, I think, again, like say he plays 14 games. Say he plays 14 games this year. I think he gets a 25% target share in like half of them again. So I think you did a great job showing up the wide receivers. And again, this is a full PPR league. Jonathan Taylor, his ceiling might be like 35, 40 catches. But Fournette last year led the NFL among running backs in first read targets. Was top five in catches and targets at the position, and he missed like four games.
When he was injured, he actually led all running backs in receptions.
Yeah,
prior to his injury,
which he would have like he was literally four, five catches every game. Like he would have been easily, you know, number one. So really like that start for you. I'm debating a couple positions here at the 709. I was debating Dalton Schultz and Treylon Burks. They went two spots before me. I was gonna take. And just stay on brand and take Devin Singletary because I need, you know, a flex. But I do have Diggs, and I think that touchdown, like, I don't think I want Diggs and Singletary. I'm not, like, opposed to it, but I'm going to take Darnell Mooney here because, my goodness, you want to talk about teams not adding anybody? I see a lot of Bears fans, like, defending the Velus Jones pick, and I'm like, because I tweeted, like, the Bears did nothing to help Justin Fields this offseason. And Bears fans are like, they drafted offensive lineman and a receiver. I'm like, they drafted a 25-year-old receiver who's, like, played six seasons in college. Like, not exactly doing it for me. So, yeah, Darnell Mooney is my flex. I love. After Mooney goes Ayuk, Elijah Moore, Russell Wilson, Drake London, Chris Olave, and Isaiah Spiller at the 803. Seems pretty early for him. I can still take Devin Singletary here. Tight end I still need to address. I am going to go tight end just because I don't pick for a while here. This player has been a top 8 to 9 tight end for me before the DeAndre Hopkins suspension. So Zach Ertz over Dawson Knox, over Mike Gesicki, over Pat Freiermuth pretty easily for me.
So I'm in an interesting position now where I'm on the clock and I am officially the last team in the league that has drafted a quarterback. So, and some of the quarterbacks on the board right now, there's two that are definite every week starters. There's Tom Brady and there's Deshaun Watson. Watson obviously carries the potential risk of not playing, so I would lean Brady there. And then Trey Lance is also on the board still.
Yeah, and if you took Watson, I would assume you would take a Derek Carr, Justin Fields, and like for building this team in case Watson misses time, right? Like that would make – there's plenty of quarterbacks down there that perfectly fill in that build. Like you could take Watson and go – you know, Derek Carr, who some people might make the case Derek Carr is like a top 12 guy this year anyway because of the additions they made.
Yep. And Kirk Cousins is usually money. I mean, last year he finished as a fantasy quarterback one in over 50% of his games.
That's another offense we haven't talked about too. Like they have a completely new regime for the first time in a while with McConnell there. Like they could not, I'm not saying they're going to be the Buffalo Bills, you know, in terms of pass volume, but they're not going to be the run first, run centric offense we've seen to that extent, I don't think. And like Kirk Cousins, like you said, he's been quietly good in fantasy.
He has. From a game theory perspective, it's interesting for me because there's a few quarterbacks. If I don't pick one on either one of these two turns, I think there's a decent chance that they'll still be there for me 24 picks from now. It's a little scary because I'm drafting at the beginning. I was the 1.02, so it's, you know, watching 20 players go off the board before you pick again is a significant wait period. I do know there's one player I'm definitely going to take, and that will be Devin Singletary here.
Nice.
Great
choice.
At the 8-11 spot, that is really good value for my RB3 position. I know they added Cook in the draft, and that limits Singletary's reception upside. But they have talked about using Cook more like a wide receiver. So there's still the chance that Singletary is used out of the backfield. Let's say if Buffalo decides to, I don't know exactly what the position would be, but kind of like wide back or maybe actually literally lining him up in the slot.
I think the way Brandon Bean talked about it, they're going to use him almost like a running back secondary, right? Like, he said it himself.
Like two backs in the back, like what, like a wing, one next.
Yeah, like he literally said, like he said a bunch of like glowing things about James Cook, what he's going to do for the passing game. But Brandon Bean, you know, as a Bills fan, I watched his interviews after the draft. He said that the forefront of their kind of what they were targeting, at least on offense for this draft, was yak ability and just ways to just, because I talk about this a lot. The Bills, as good as their offense is, they don't have anybody that's great in terms of yards after the catch. The Bills, they were dead last in yards after the catch per reception last year at 4.2. Diggs, elite receiver, not really his game as an elite yak guy. Gabriel Davis, not really his game either. Cole Beasley, that wasn't his game. Jamison Crowder, not really his game. So they added James Cook and Khalil Shakir. So that's clearly what they want. And the way he said it, it's like James Cook, oh, by the way, he can handle some carries if we want to give him, like, it's going to be Devin Singletary getting 15 to 20 carries, which are good carries because he's good at football.
Yeah. The big question is, as always, is what does Josh Allen do at the goal line?
Yep. And I also don't believe in the, you want him to run less. You may want him to, but by week four, when he has 12 carries for 80 yards and a touchdown because he ran for 16 yards on two different fourth downs, we're like, oh yeah, he's just unstoppable. We should let him just play football.
So here's where I will end up taking my first risk of the draft. And this is the min-maxer in me coming out. I want to maximize the potential of this roster, which means taking the risk and waiting on quarterback because every other team in the draft has selected a quarterback. So my hope here is that Brady or Watson falls to me, but not the end of the world if I end up with Trey Lance or Kirk Cousins or Justin Fields. And all of those guys I could see them being fantasy quarterback ones. Or I end up streaming quarterback. Kind of hinges on this draft pick here, but what I will do instead is I'll take Tony Pollard as probably the first handcuff running back that gets drafted in the ninth round. But I don't necessarily think Pollard is just a straight handcuff. As we saw last year, he was used even when Elliott was out on the field. Pollard was a serviceable flex option for fantasy. But if anything were to happen to Elliott, or if Pollard's role expands, I think he becomes an every week starter.
So again, talking about ADP, sometimes it all isn't always adjusted. So I took Rashad Bateman in the 9th round. Don't think that'll happen in most drafts, but yeah, so I'm back on the clock again here. I'm going to go Tom Brady here. I'm just kidding. He actually went. All the quarterbacks went. All those quarterbacks went. So
they did. So, yeah, I mean, it's a risk, right? Brady went. Deshaun Watson went. Trey Lance went, which is fine. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I end up with Kirk Cousins in, like, most of my leagues, and I do pretty well with him.
Right.
But Justin Fields will probably be the guy that I'm targeting, unless I know you like him too.
No, I will not be taking a quarterback. I'm going to look at the running back position. I'm running out of time. Yeah, this is full PPR. Let's take James Cook. Okay with that pick at the 10.04. Then we see a couple other rookies. Jameson Williams at the 10.07. So it is over to you now. So you missed out on Brady and Watson and Lance, but you know, quarterback's great. We talked Kirk Cousins, man. Give him some love. He's still got two great receivers, maybe a new, more innovative offense for him. Maybe some more passing.
I know. The question is, do I take Cousins and do I take like solid QB8 to QB12 production most weeks? Or do I take Fields with the potential upside for more?
I love Justin Fields so much.
But they did nothing to help him.
Yeah, I did move him down because I actually had Cousins. I had him ahead of Lance before the draft, one spot. And I flip-flopped them pretty easily after they pretty much did nothing. Michael Gallup, I know a player that you love right after Kirk Cousins is to end the 10th round. And then Tyler Boyd to start the 11.01. So back over to you at 10 or 11.02.
Ooh, it starts to look like a barren wasteland here. I'm not even going to lie. I probably go Gronk here.
And hope he plays.
Yeah.
Oh, you have Andrews, so.
I do have Andrews. I mean, we're in the 11th round of a 13-round draft. I should probably draft more wide receivers, but I could do that in the 12th and 13th rounds. You don't like need a backup tight end, but if we're thinking
also still a handful of rookie receivers, I believe. Yeah. I mean, some of the rookie receivers are still there. It's probably the spot where like the receivers after the tier of like Burks and London start to go, I would imagine.
I actually think I will probably leave Gronk on the board here and I will go, I'll go Alan Lazard here.
I like that pick.
Well, Sky Moore is interesting to me here, but I'll take Lazard. We know he's going to be Green Bay's. He'll be targeted. He had 8 touchdowns last year, even with Adams there. So as the wide receiver 5 on my team, I'm happy with that. I was very tempted by Gronk though, but I didn't do it ultimately because I have Andrews.
Yeah,
I don't hate doing something like that though, because within a couple weeks, I think you could pretty easily trade Gronkowski, assuming he plays.
Yeah, especially because like the tight ends that we tend to always love as breakout candidates or late round tight ends, a lot of them tend to underwhelm anyway. Just kind of happens. I'm on
Gronk
the clock
was legit
here.
Good last year when yeah. I mean
I took the L on Gronk the last 2 years because I thought he didn't really have much left at all. I'm going to swing for the fence because my receivers are so you know, locked in and solid. I'm going to just take Christian Watson here. Nearly the end of the 11th round. See what happens. He's like my 5th receiver at this point anyway. So, and yeah, this is where you start to see those receivers from the rookie class. Watson, Dotson, and then George Pickens at the 12.02. So I have a couple selections left. I don't plan on taking a backup quarterback. Tight end, I feel pretty safe with Ertz, but like, you know what? Let's do it. Let's go for the home run with Irv Smith because I just can't stop drafting him. So, firm believer in Irv Smith. Rashad White, 12.05. He could always be very interesting in PPR leagues because he is an elite pass catcher running back coming out of college. And if anything happens to Fournette, was White somebody that you were kind of targeting, the fact that you have Leonard Fournette? Not that he's already locked in as the backup, but like pretty easily could be. And we know how valuable that, like we saw how many targets Fournette got from Brady.
Yeah, he's not a player I was targeting in this draft specifically. I don't think Fournette is a player that I would I guess White would be a natural handcuff for him, but I don't necessarily think if Fournette went down, Rashad White would just right. get the Fournette role.
It would probably be him and Gio. Yeah. I think they're pretty much done with Keyshawn Vaughn at this point, but
yeah, I would agree with that. So for this draft, the fact that I took Fournette was, I think, irrelevant to my interest in him, but I do think that he's a threat to Fournette's receiving work. Mm-hmm. I don't know how big of a threat as a rookie he will be, just because that rapport with Tom Brady is proven to be so important. Like, I think that's the sole reason why Fournette became the guy in Tampa to begin with. Like, Brady just trusted him and liked him and would throw the ball to him. But I am going to take a rookie wide receiver here. I like Sky Moore here.
Yeah, that's nice. To get him, you know, almost a full round after, or actually over a full round after I took Watson and, mm-hmm. you know, like, where did Jameson Williams go in this draft? Jameson Williams went...
looking for him.
10.07?
10.07, yep.
Right, like, I dynasty-wise, like, again, the ranks can differ, but, like, Jameson Williams might miss time in year one. Sky Moore could walk in and be more productive in year one. And, you know, two rounds later is pretty nice for Sky Moore there at 12-11. So last selection now, for you here.
Last selection. This feels like a lot of wide receivers, but it is full PPR. I don't feel like I need a backup quarterback. I have Kirk Cousins. You could argue he's a backup quarterback anyway. Tight end. I don't need a backup tight end with Mark Andrews. I'm going to go Russell Gage from Tampa.
I feel like he's getting slept on still.
I think he's an interesting, I mean, what he was my wide receiver six.
Exactly.
I think he's probably a wide receiver four in fantasy by the end of the year. I would expect him to finish somewhere between wide receiver 40 and 48. Won't be consistent every single week, but Antonio Brown was the most targeted player on a per snap basis last year. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Russell Gage is Antonio Brown, but my point is, losing Brown is a significant target share opening in Tampa, and Gage is really the only player that they added that could get those receptions. And then you throw in the fact that Gronk might not return and the fact that Godwin might not be ready at the beginning of the year. And Gage is actually one of my favorite late round picks right now. And then who did you pick here?
Even with the DeAndre Hopkins suspension.
Oh my gosh, you did it.
I don't feel good about it, but he's my sixth receiver and it's Rondale Moore. Look, I joke about it all the time. He literally had a yards before the catch per reception mark of under one. It was in the minus territory last year. I don't know if it's going to happen for Rondale Moore as an NFL receiver, but he's my sixth receiver. Maybe I get 4 or 5 weeks of production out of him over the course of the season. But yeah, I mean, there's a reason even with Hopkins. Like, it's just, I don't know if it's going to happen for him, but.
I love these last two picks of yours. Like, if this was a blind draft board, I would know that that's where you were drafting from.
It's funny too, because
Rondale,
like,
Moore to finish it off.
It's not like Rondale was one of my favorite receivers in the draft class coming out. Like, I would have had him well behind a lot of receivers, but, like, just, again, like, you would think he would fit well in this offense, right? It's a team that runs screens more than pretty much any team in football. Kyler was fourth in screen passing attempts last year, despite missing three games. Rondale, you know, that's pretty much how he was used in his final season at Purdue, because they didn't have any other real talent on offense. They just manufactured touches for him. But yet, there's just like they need to get some downfield passing for this team. Maybe that's why they brought in Marquise Brown. Maybe that deal was in place knowing of the Hopkins suspension, but
it definitely was in place. Cause did you actually see, we didn't talk about this.
Oh yeah.
But he was like already in Arizona at their draft party.
Yeah. Then it came out that he requested the trade because he wanted to play in an offense that wasn't so run heavy. So yeah, that was definitely in place. Now the question is, was it in place and before they knew about the Hopkins suspension? Probably. Like, how often? But let's recap some of the stuff from this draft. Now these are going to change. This draft is, you know, it's on Sleeper, recording this podcast late. So we wanted to get, you know, a bunch of live drafters in here, couldn't do it. So it's just Tyler, myself, and the AI, but the AI was pretty, I would say, accurate with most of the ADP, except for, you know, still have to get Hopkins down for the suspension, but,
And I mean, Bateman probably won't fall that far in real life.
Yeah, exactly. But that's why we do these mocks, and that's why we do them, you know, over the summer, because these will be updated, things will change, and you can, like, again, you went with zero receivers in your three first picks in a three-receiver league, but I must say, your team, you went four, like, the way you did it is perfect, too, because you hammered home four straight receivers after those first three picks, and we talked about it, all three, or all four could have a... I would say Sutton, I'd be surprised if he saw 25% target share.
I think 20 is reasonable
for him. But to surround him with Pittman, Cooks, and Cooper, who all should, makes a ton of sense. The build was really strong.
And then on your side, you just went really wide. You did the opposite. You did wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver.
I just didn't expect Chase to be there. And, like, it's not like I've been doing a lot of, like, underdog drafts, and that's where the receivers really get pushed up, right? Like, Jamar Chase, like, a top six pick. And underdog drafts, I expected I would have to choose between Stephon Diggs and Chase. Ended up getting both because Harrison Mixon went in the first round. The other thing is, like, Adams went before a lot of these receivers, which is weird.
You know what's genuinely crazy about Chase? I'm going to say only. It was still really elite. But he, quote-unquote, only had a 23.4% target share last year, which... Again, that's very good, but it's not nearly as high up the list of wide receivers as I was expecting. He's actually behind T. Higgins. It was behind Russell Gage in Atlanta. It's behind Jarvis Landry.
The Bengals were so interesting because if
he's
you
still
looked
dominated.
At the, right. If you looked at the Bengals numbers last season, there was a point in the year where they just kept ripping off a ton of deep long passing plays, right?
And it worked.
Obviously Jamar Chase, the majority of them went to him, right? He was unbelievable. I believe Burrow and Chase led the NFL in vertical passing touchdowns, which, again, doesn't surprise anybody when you think about it. But as a result, because they had so many deep passing plays, they were like, I'm going to pull up the exact numbers, but there was a point in the season where I was looking at it. They were like right with the Texans in terms of red zone scoring attempts per game, not because their offense was bad, but because they just didn't get in the red zone because they kept scoring from over 20 yards out. So, like, a lot of those big plays actually led to just less targets for Jamar Chase because he was so good on a per target basis. It was also why, like, T. Higgins was like the easiest buy low in fantasy football history at one point last year after he came back from his injury, because his touchdowns were down, but, like, he just wasn't getting in the red zone. And obviously those long passing plays would regress. And sure enough, T. Higgins started to score touchdowns, but that entire offense interesting from a regression standpoint. Like, how do you feel about Chase versus Higgins? Because I don't think there's going to be a set of rankings you'll find out there that has Higgins over Chase. But, like, I don't know how different their numbers are going to be at the end of the season. And you can get Chase or Higgins, you know, a full round and a half later.
For their cost, I currently prefer Higgins. I do think Chase ends up with more yards and touchdowns in particular. His deep ball ability last year is just really hard to imagine that repeating. I'm looking right now at our air yards tool. If you just Google air yards, you can find it. It's the first result, and it's a free tool, so you can play with it. But it's a fun tool to play with because you can, like, set levers for, okay, only show me players with this many targets or this level of average depth of target. And I'm looking at players who had a minimum average depth of target of 12. Because Jamar Chase was at 12.6, which is not super high, but it's pretty high. I mean, it's kind of comparable to a player like Mike Evans, or Tyler Lockett, or Justin Jefferson, like players that are more downfield threats. Interestingly, T. Higgins also had an average depth of target above 12, but Chase, he led all wide receivers who had at least an average depth of target or 12 or higher in RACER. Which is, I'm going to be honest, I have literally no idea what it stands for, but I know what it represents. It's the percentage of, you take the player's receiving yards. So Chase had 1,455 receiving yards, and you divide it by their air yards. He had 1,617 air yards. So that's a 90% ratio. Basically, he took 90% of his air yards he was able to convert into actual yards. And that was the highest percentage of any wide receiver who had that high of an average depth of target. So basically what it means is he was just absolutely incredible at turning his opportunity into actual yards. And then, as we know, into touchdowns as well. He had 13 touchdowns. So how sticky is that stat? I don't know. Sounds like a good article for someone at FTN to research, how sticky is the racer stat. But that one, it scares me just a little bit because it was basically a hyper efficient season for Chase. And usually you have to spend a first round fantasy pick to get him. You were able to get him at the very beginning of the second round, which I think can happen if players go RB heavy. But yeah, usually you do have to spend a first round pick to get him. And then, like you said, Higgins can go significantly later, but Higgins' stats were good too. And
I love T. Higgins, man. Higgins
crushed in the Super Bowl. He had 2 touchdowns in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And he, it's not like the way I look at T. Higgins, I think he is the preferred red zone target in this offense. Not that Jamar, not by a lot, but I think he slightly is. Jamar Chase is the clear preferred deep target. But I think Higgins has the best chance of getting like both types of targets. You know what I mean? Like, I think Chase is clear. Like, and Chase, like last year, like looking at our deep receiving stats, he had 26 deep targets last year. He caught 17 of them, 65% catch rate, 8 touchdowns. Like, that's 8 touchdowns of 20 yards or more. Like, Jamar Chase is clearly talented enough to do that. He's one of the best receiver prospects we've seen. But at the same time, like, those numbers are tough to repeat. So, like, if we're in a situation where there's more red zone trips per game for the Bengals, I think that favors T. Higgins a bit. And I'm not saying T. Higgins is going to outscore Jamar Chase. I'm not saying T. Higgins is clearly going to score more touchdowns than Jamar Chase. But
yeah,
I think their numbers are going to be a lot closer than people realize.
I think I said this when you drafted them. I think they both finished as fantasy wide receiver ones.
I mean, I have it ranked that way. I have Chase as wide receiver 4 and Higgins as like wide receiver 11. Might be 10 now because I had to move Hopkins down, obviously. But I could have taken Burrow. I would have been fine with it. I've been warming up to the fact that, like, because Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill have slid down in most rankings, I think you could easily say Stephon Diggs could be the wide receiver 1. I would not be shocked at all. Like, I know people say he had a down season last year. He kind of did, right? But, like,
it's hard to see Kupp not doing it, though.
Right. I'm saying, like, Diggs is, like, viewed as, like, this
really
high-floor
player.
It's
in the realm of possibility. Yeah, it's possible.
Like, I think I have 3 receivers who could finish as top 5 receivers, potentially. Well, probably not top 5, because if Higgins finishes top 5, Jamar Chase probably misses time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, top 12 easily. But let's go back to your team. So Taylor, Andrews, Fournette, then you hammer home receivers with Cooper, Sutton, Pittman, and Cooks. Singletary at the end of the 8th round is, you know,
I love that.
Yeah. But even Pollard at 902. Like, I don't know if we should view Tony Pollard as a handcuff. I think Tony Pollard, AJ Dillon, those 3, you know, maybe even Melvin Gordon to an extent, they are in the standalone value, but absolute no-brainer top 5 running backs if anything happens to the starter.
Exactly. Yep. I
especially
was really,
this year with no Cooper. Like, we talked about it. Like, they need to put Pollard in the field.
They will. They absolutely will. And, you know, Prescott actually was pretty inconsistent last year, too. I don't necessarily think that happens again, which I think will help Dallas's offense overall. At that pick there, you mentioned I picked Singletary and then I picked Pollard. Rashad Penny was also on the board when I picked Singletary. He went on the turn.
Right. Probably a slam dunk there if there's no Kenneth Walker, I'm guessing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I would have picked him if there was no Kenneth Walker. But if he didn't actually go on the turn, I actually might have picked him over Pollard there.
Yeah.
That was a close one for me. I didn't have to make the choice because he came off the board, but I knew that I wanted 2 of those 3 running backs on the turn, and I was able to get them.
So
and
then,
that's where I passed up on
the quarterbacks.
Brady, right, exactly.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to get to. Like, you took a chance on waiting, and all 3 of those quarterbacks went, but, like, Kirk Cousins is fine. Like I don't think you're going to lose. You know, he's not going to have the same weekly upside as, you know, like, here's the thing. Like, does anybody outside the top 7 have the upside to match, like, Josh Allen and company anyway? Like, Brady on a given week, it's 5 touchdowns.
Probably Brady, yeah.
Yeah. and maybe Watson, but who knows? There's still a lot of uncertainty there. And then you close out the draft with three receivers. Alan Lazard is somebody that I've been kind of interested in, and maybe it's a little bit less interesting because they added Sammy Watkins, Christian Watson, and Romeo Dubs. But like, then again, the additions they made were Sammy Watkins, Christian Watson, and Romeo Dubs. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they added Will Fuller or traded for whoever was available at the time. AJ Brown, like any Debo, like they didn't make. And Christian Watson, really, really, really exciting prospect. 13.3% drop rate in college. Doesn't have a full route tree. Didn't always play to his size. So he's a little bit raw. Romeo Dubs, fourth, fifth round rookie. Yep. And then Sammy Watkins has not been able to stay healthy. I don't know how much we can count on him. There's still a clear path to Alan Lazard being the number one option in this offense, and that has value. I'll pull it up in a minute, but I want to get your thoughts on Lazard because you made the selection anyway. But like, Lazard had some interesting numbers down the stretch last year with Davante Adams.
Yeah, Lazard was like shockingly targeted often in and near the red zone, and he was actually good with the targets too, which was also a little bit surprising to see. I picked him for the same reasons you just mentioned. The fact that he has a very legitimate potential to be Green Bay's number one wide receiver. We know with Aaron Rodgers returning how valuable that role would be. I do not think though that he's like a slam dunk pick by any means, but I took him as my wide receiver 5 in the 11th round.
I've taken him like, actually the 11th round is like where I've been taking him in a lot of drafts. So like, I think he'll probably get pushed down a little bit after the draft, but like, I still would project him, if I did projections, to lead this team in actually it might be Aaron Jones, but like the receivers at least in targets. Alan Lazard, by the way, last 5 weeks of the season, wide receiver 8, he averaged a touchdown per game in that span. He had 6 end zone targets over the final 5 weeks, tied with Davante Adams for the 5th most in the NFL. So like those numbers, he's not going to be a top 10 receiver. He's not going to most likely finish top 10 in end zone targets. But the fact that he did that with Davante Adams in those games shows that he has at least some sort of potential. And like, again, it's a narrative that's out there, but like Aaron Rodgers, you have to be on the same page with him and you have to have trust with him. And that really developed down like within the final 7 weeks of the season with Alan Lazard. He became the clear guy outside of Davante Adams, easily over MVS, who missed time with injury, easily over, maybe they get something from Robert Tonyan, but I'm still perfectly fine with Alan Lazard in the 11th round.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
It's not as exciting, but like, I still think he could easily lead this team in touchdowns. Like, he has a path to 10 touchdowns very easily. Like,
it feels crazy to say, but he absolutely does. He had 8 last year with Adams, and now Adams is gone. And you know, what if Christian Watson doesn't develop as quickly? It's going to be Lazard.
So going over to my team, again, I went with a 3 receiver build. So I went really receiver heavy. And a lot of it was the fact that Ja'Marr Chase was still there. But I went Stephon Diggs, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins in my first 3 selections. Then James Conner was there in the middle of the 4th round. Breece Hall at the 509, which is pretty much exactly where we thought he would go. So I saw him there. I was like, this makes a ton of sense. Jalen Hurts is my quarterback. Darnell Mooney, Zach Ertz, Rashad Bateman, James Cook, Christian Watson, Irv Smith, and Rondale Moore. I like this team a lot. I think the fact that like I could get those 3 receivers and still feel good about James Conner and
then get
Hall.
Conner, yeah, and yeah. Breece Hall there. I mean, that was a very, very good start. And then Hurts just added AJ Brown.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts had like, do you think he has QB1 overall potential now?
Overall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think QB.
It's a long shot.
I think
obviously.
His ceiling is QB3.
I think he could be QB1. I mean, he has 2 touchdown rushing potential upside. Their running backs are not huge threats at the goal line. I mean, they have Miles Sanders, they have Kenneth Gainwell. Do they have somebody else on the roster right now?
They brought Scott and Gainwell back.
Well, I guess it's not as clear as I thought it was, but I mean, gosh, if you have a player that can rush for 2 touchdowns any given week and just added AJ Brown, I mean, I will be shocked if he doesn't finish as a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
Top three is certainly within his ceiling. Could he finish as the number one overall? It would definitely require some things breaking his way, but I mean, it's possible. I would put him in. I wrote this article. I forget exactly where I put him, but I wrote an article of which quarterbacks have the most potential to finish as fantasy QB one, and Hurts was in my final tier.
Well, and this was before the AJ Brown trade.
Let me pull the article up.
Might have been before, which that's the case. Then he sure might.
Let me pull it up. I went pretty deep with it.
I mean, it's a loaded position.
Yeah, it is. Fantasy QB one candidates. Where did I put him? I put him as a tier four candidate. So what was that? One tier one, I put Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Jackson might be a little bit of a controversial pick to put there, but I don't think it is.
He stole my QB3.
Tier two, I put Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray. This was before the DeAndre Hopkins suspension. Tier three, I put Herbert, Brady, Burrow, Prescott, and Watson. And then tier four, I had Hurts, Rodgers, Stafford, and Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, again, similar to the Broncos, yeah. if they add, you know, if they go from like 30th or whatever in passing volume to like 22nd, that could be enough. And AJ Brown is a player where, like, they didn't have a player like AJ Brown last year, right? Like, when they had deep passing plays, they were occasional shots to Quez Watkins, you know? Like, they don't, AJ Brown is going to change everything for them.
He is. He absolutely is.
So that's going to be fun. Looking around the rest of this draft, though, like, some of the rookies, Kenneth Walker, first pick of the 7th round. Breece Hall went 509. I think that's about right. Breece should obviously be going ahead of him. I think 7th round for Kenneth Walker is about right. I think he's like my running back 34 at the moment. Like, I don't know what to expect in terms of workload, but like there's the fact that they took him in the 2nd round really means nothing to me because it's Seattle. They don't care about draft capital. They just play who's playing well. And Rashad Penny was like the best running back in the NFL the last 5 weeks of the season. So like in redraft, like this is a perfect example. Okay, maybe not a perfect example because they went to the same team, which actually is kind of makes sense. But Kenneth Walker went to 7-1. Rashad Penny went to 9-1. Who do you prefer?
Penny.
In redraft, I think you have to, right? Obviously, Dynasty is different. But like,
yeah,
like Rashad Penny... Again, I don't think draft capital matters, but this is proving the point that like we forget, like Rashad Penny was a first round pick. He's a good player. He just has not been able to stay on the field. And when he was finally able to stay on the field, they had a 7th round running back named Chris Carson who was playing incredible, and he was not coming off the field when he was healthy.
Penny was awesome. I mean, that's why I wanted to draft him, but it's obviously less desirable now with, you know, Drew Locke. I love the comment, by the way, Pete Carroll, like Drew Locke would be the number one quarterback in this class.
That's cool.
It's like, yeah, cool. But no, I mean, Kenneth Walker going two full rounds before Penny in redraft does not make sense to me, though.
Yeah. Well, again, in general, because in this draft, the 101 has Walker and Penny, which is pretty nice, actually. Walker at the 701, Penny at the 901. I think the next draft we do, I didn't do it exactly, but I think this is a very interesting year, and we'll get out of here in a couple minutes. I think this is a very interesting year for zero RB because I talked about it. You have the tier of AJ Dillon, who aren't like handcuff candidates. They are legitimate, you know, standalone value, but again, they will, yep, like, you will win your
Dylan
league
if Pollard. AJ Dillon,
yeah, you will win your league if they become starting running back for their team. But like Dylan, Pollard, Singletary still doesn't get respect. Like, I don't think he'll be in the 8th round in most drafts, but I don't think he's going to be in the 6th or 5th round. I think people are still worried about him. I wouldn't put him in that exact tier. But then you have some of the rookies. Damian Pierce will probably be in that range to an extent, maybe. Who else is in that range? Rashad Penny's now kind of in that range.
Yep, Penny's kind of in that range. Ramondre Stevenson a little bit later.
the Miami running backs, Melvin Gordon.
Patterson, I guess maybe. Patterson, I don't know if I would consider him in that range. I guess kind of. He's not really like a full-on running back, but he's in that range of players that, I guess he's not in that same category. He's kind of like his own tier. He's like his own thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll see with what happens in like reports in training camp, but Isaiah Spiller, now with the Chargers, could fit in that mold.
I guess Rashad White a little bit later in the draft, yep. But we talked about him earlier. He could.
I think there's a lot of candidates, and I think, you know, there were last year too, but like, especially after seeing AJ Dillon,
how Daryl Henderson.
Yeah, Daryl Henderson's a good one too. Especially with AJ Dillon, like after seeing how he was used with Aaron Jones, like AJ Dillon to me is like eighth, ninth round. If he's there, like I don't even care what my build is. I just want AJ Dillon on my team. Same with Tony Pollard. Like I just want, these are the players you want on your team.
Absolutely.
So this is a fun first mock draft. Again, we are going, the next one, we're going to definitely make sure we get people to draft with us. So if you're interested, let us know. And it'll be fun. We'll also do, you know, a little bit down the line. Last year we did Superflex occasionally. We just did a bunch of drafts because A, they're fun. B, they're good to kind of help yourself, but also to help others and to kind of go through different ways to view drafts and adjust. Because in drafts, like you can go into a draft with a set strategy, but 9 times out of 10, it's probably going to fall through and you're going to have to adjust. So,
oh, yeah, mine blew up quickly.
Right. I mean, you want a McCaffrey. But you still got Jonathan Taylor, so I don't know if it blew up.
No, but going a tight end in the second round was not the plan. But I, you know, rolled with the punches. That's what you
gotta do. Was the plan receiver?
The plan was receiver, yeah. But I didn't love the value there.
Yeah, I mean,
I could have gone like Keenan Allen or Mike Evans, but I felt it was a little early.
I think the gap between Andrews and. Like, I think there's a clear gap between Andrews and Kittle. Like, I think it's Kelsey and Andrews in a tier of their own, and then Pitts, Kittle, Waller.
After I drafted, I took Andrews. I wanted a wide receiver, but shortly before me, Debo, CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown all went. And then after me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there were 6 picks before another wide receiver came. So I think I made the right move there.
Yeah, and like I said, I think you did a great job in the middle rounds. Those 4 receivers you drafted are going to give you weekly strong target totals. And who knows, like Amari Cooper could be a top 10 receiver if Deshaun Watson plays the whole year. Like very easily.
For sure.
But make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on iTunes. All that great stuff really helps us out. We appreciate it. And again, maybe a couple weeks, we'll probably do another one, get some people to draft with us, have a good time. But content-wise, FTN Fantasy, we're going to have a ton of – I looked at the schedule today. A lot of great content. I debuted a – I did it last year. I was kind of debating between 2 players being drafted around each other in ADP. This year, there's an actual name to the article, so that's cool. It is called the – it's called Fantasy Crossroads. I think it's a nice name. The debut article was debating between Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill, 2 receivers who have been clear, you know, number one receivers in fantasy in the past, but now are on different teams. So what I do is I make the case for both players, I make the case against both players, and I come to a decision at the end of the article. So that's up now, free to read at FTN Fantasy. This week's, the second edition, will be between 2 running backs. And this, I think this is a good one too. Javonte Williams, DeAndre Swift. So that will be this week. Tyler, content-wise, do you have anything planned for... I was looking, I think we're bringing back the team preview series from a bunch of different aspects.
Yep, we're going to do team previews. It has a name, can't remember exactly what it is off the top of my head, but essentially we are looking at sleepers, fades, busts, and then players that we're betting on, both literally and betting on for fantasy breakout performances. We're going to do that for every single team in the NFL that starts this week, and I'm doing that with Josh Larkey.
Awesome. So FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, FTN Bets, make sure you are locked in, checking out all the content, a ton of great stuff. And I mean, look, it's, you know, middle of May almost, rapidly approaching the season. It's going to be fun. We got the schedule coming out soon. Are you a huge schedule guy?
I am, but I'm not going to lie. The hype, like the show around it, it's like a 3-hour long show. I do not watch that. It's too much for me.
My thing with the schedule analysis is like, I understand we're in the middle of May. We don't have a lot going on. The draft's over. But I use this analogy, I use this example all the time. Like 2 years ago, even last year, right? perfect example. The Baltimore Ravens on paper last year, one of the five best defenses in the NFL. Then they lose Marcus Peters. Then they lose half their secondary. And teams were like Joe Burrow had threw for like 500 yards against him. Like a couple years ago, the Bears, they were like the vaunted run defense. Then they lost Akeem Hicks in the middle of that defense and they were giving up like 6 yards a carry. So like things change so easily that like I think you can use what I like to use with schedules, especially for fantasy. If you have two players really ranked closely and you can't decide, use it as a tiebreaker if you want, right? Maybe like for DSTs, like, oh, the Chargers defense is loaded, but I also like the Bills defense. The Bills play in the AFC East, the Chargers play in the AFC West, where there's going to be shootouts left and right. Like, that's probably what I use schedules for.
I have never done, like, a ton of my own analysis on schedules. But yeah, I think your approach to it is a sane one. I also think you can look at schedules for wide receiver cornerback matchups to mm-hmm. see like which wide receivers might have really rough starts to the season. From a fantasy like ADP perspective, I don't think it ends up having too much of an impact, but you can do some game theory with that. Like, all right, I really like this player. He's going to have a rough cornerback matchups the first, 4 weeks of the season. Maybe he becomes a buy low candidate for a trade.
Right.
Late September.
The main thing for me is DSTs, because I just draft a defense at the end of my draft, every single draft that faces whoever, right? The Texans, the Falcons. Yep. Like that's going to be the team I target, and then I'm just going to drop them and move on. That's really what I look at schedule for. So, but yeah, we'll be back next week with another episode of the FTN DataCast. Appreciate everybody listening. The support's been great. Really, really appreciate it. And Tyler and I have been having a lot of fun doing this podcast. So keep it locked in here. Rate, review, subscribe, all that great stuff. Have a great start to your week. Check out all the content, FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTN Bets. For Tyler, I'm Adam. Thanks for listening. As always, we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the FTN DataCast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter at APfeiffer24 and at LochnerNFL.